when can McLean County expect to see its first doses of a COVID vaccine?
Really, you know, want to focus on our high-risk health workers, help them so that they can help our community.
That's Health Department Chief Jessica McKnight. I'm Dana Vollmer, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Monday, December 7th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT Bloomington Normal's Public Media. Now, let's lead off with a timeline for a COVID vaccine coming to Illinois. More from Eric Stock.
The state is preparing for its first shipment of COVID-19 vaccines in the coming weeks if and when the two leading vaccine candidates get federal approval. Those 109,000 doses will be distributed to the 50 counties with the highest death rates from the virus, plus Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker says the rapid development of vaccines is a testament to both government investment in scientific research and the scientists and other health officials who've worked on the vaccines.
They deserve our gratitude and our respect. And now it's on all of us to keep wearing our masks, keep our distance, and find the patience to allow the vaccines to be distributed so that we can put this difficult chapter in the history books.
McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight says it's not clear when the COVID vaccine will be ready for distribution locally. McKnight says all they know now is supplies will be limited at first.
There'll be priority groups. We really, you know, want to focus on our high-risk health workers. Help them so that they can help our community.
A federal partnership with Walgreens and CVS pharmacies will also distribute early doses of a vaccine to residents of long-term care facilities. And McLean County is working with a neighboring Woodford County to find alternate housing for people who need to isolate because of COVID exposure. Woodford County officials say they don't have hotel or apartment capacity for anyone who may need a temporary place to quarantine. Jessica McKnight says McLean County has provided alternate housing for 11 people since the pandemic began.
That's something that from the beginning of the pandemic was high priority for us, but it can be a challenge in a smaller community.
Woodford County's population is less than 40,000. The two counties say they're still working on a formal agreement. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner says he will spend his waning months in office trying to revive a unified emergency telephone and dispatch service. The city left Metcom 18 years ago. ISU students who live on campus will be required to get tested for COVID when they return in January. The university plans to have new saliva-based testing available around then. And a couple from Normal won a $200,000 investment from Mark Cuban on Shark Tank over the weekend. Their invention is the toilet timer. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Remote learning has shaken up the way educators teach and how teachers measure student growth. Some worry students may fall behind without in-person instruction. The fear is more for students already struggling in school. Educators say just because learning looks different during the COVID-19 pandemic doesn't mean students do worse. Some argue now is a time to reconsider how to assess students. Diane Wolf is Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction for District 87. She says the traditional ABCDF grade rating system doesn't mean the same right now.
We have students going through a traumatic event as a society. So if we continue to use the same benchmarks that we always have, what does that say about us as educators?
She says that might mean A students just show up for remote learning every day, give it their best shot, learn new technologies, and cope with the stress of a global health emergency. It may not be traditional, but Wolf says she guarantees no one is sitting around not learning anything.
That's really important that we do not discredit what's happening every day in family life. You know, we have kids that are learning fractions because they're baking with a parent or a guardian. They're not doing it on a worksheet, maybe, but they're actually doing and applying the skills. We have students that are reading for how to maneuver a new game that they want to play. That's still reading.
It's too soon to tell how COVID-19 hinders student performance. Projections by the Brookings Institute before school began suggested students would return this fall with 70% of gains in reading from the previous year. The number is lower for math, less than 50% retention. Brookings researchers suggest younger students lose more. But early data from student assessments this fall show students fared better than originally feared. Wolf says she does not worry students will lose an entire year of learning. She says they may need to shore up certain skills, but that's true every school year. State Superintendent Carmen Ayala says students can learn without traditional grades as long as they get assessment and feedback.
So what does that look like? We're encouraging our educators to use ungraded polls, to use surveys, quick writes, interviews, mini conferences, and learning logs to help students synthesize learning and help teachers gauge students' progress.
Ayala says formats like multiple choice and true-false may be easier to administer, especially in a remote environment, but they don't reveal enough about student understanding. With students out of the classroom, faculty do fewer competency and readiness checks on growth. For instance, Bloomington High School and some others canceled final exams. The state encourages educators to prioritize project-based learning, to talk about where kids need more supports, and to have students write about what they've learned. Ayala says these principles should transcend remote learning. Many teachers have pushed for alternative ways to measure student growth for years. That's what the whole standards-based grading movement is about. Lindsay DiMartino with ISU's College of Education says the pandemic is a good opportunity to think about what education can be rather than default to the status quo. DiMartino says the stakes are now higher for some students.
There's cause to be concerned over running the risk of broadening and reinforcing the social divide. So that emerging from the digital divide, the social divide, results in an online penalty where it's more severe for struggling and vulnerable students.
DiMartino says the learning outcomes have less to do with students and more to do with how schools provide equitable and inclusive education, and student assessments are part of that. Wolf says when students return to the classroom, the focus will be on moving forward, not what they missed by being remote. Before we let you go, the Normal Town Council meets tonight at 7. That's preceded by a 6:15 work session when council members will discuss COVID-related matters. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.